Welcome to Crippled System, episode 28 in 3D. I am Brian. I play Crix.
Jeremy, Valiant 418, and I play Rhett and Legion.
And I'm Nathan.
And you hate War Machine?
Right now I hate Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep, but it was wonderful. I enjoyed every moment of it except for how much I hated it.
I'm Andy, Major Tusk, and I play Protectorate.
Good choice.
I thought you played Legion last I saw.
No, it's Protectorate now.
I play Protectorate.
Okay.
I couldn't think of a decent theme force that I really wanted to play at the last theme force event, so I played two of them that I knew.
Right, makes sense.
Plus, his avatar exists.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's a thing.
So,
isn't Katie going to introduce herself?
Katie, I'm taking a nap right now.
Katie's taking a nap. Lame.
Yeah, Katie was almost here, everyone. People were like, where's Katie? She's sleeping right now.
She was totally almost here.
And the promised special guest from Focus and Fury was here and unfortunately had to leave before we could record. But he was in town, and that was exciting.
He recorded with the battle report.
He was in the battle report.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Oh, so I couldn't get a confirmation from you from when I texted you in the morning.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if you were going to actually make it for the podcast. So he wasn't sure if he wanted to wait until 5.
Which I love, by the way. People today, they'll text once. Because, you know, a phone, you know, beeps once in a text. But a call, it rings. But people, we can't call anyone anymore nowadays. Because
you could have called me.
Problem with people. And people are like,
I did.
I mean, I responded right away when Andy texted me.
But sometimes you miss
you
a text.
Miss it, like,
I've missed
text.
I've missed texts.
A beep. But a call, you know, it's a consistent amount of...
If I need to get a hold of somebody and I text, I call them. Because
Yeah. Andy texted me once at 9:30, apparently.
You should have...
I found that out at 3:30 when Brian told me that Andy texted him that he couldn't get a hold of me.
Oops.
Can't get a hold of means one missed text.
Because we were playing Borderlands, so it was easy to...
I probably went to pee at the time and so missed it.
One of our many pee
breaks. Pretty fair that I almost never get an answer back from my texts I send you.
Because normally do it during weekdays when I'm at work. It's like I can't answer I don't sit at a cubicle jerking off on the internet like you three do. I actually work.
I don't understand.
I don't
you're all like
you're
browsing
about.
The internet Wait, and no, texting and no, doing like you, assembling models and all this stuff.
Already,
I work.
I've never assembled a model at work.
You've already admitted that you don't work. You're like, I don't want to do any calls. What? I don't want to call anybody.
Well, yeah, that one aspect of my that isn't actually part of my job that they're trying to make me do.
Yeah, that is.
I don't do that one thing. I do too much. That's actually why I don't do calls. Is I too much other crap. It's like if you're a construction worker who's working your balls off building, and they're like, and we also need you to crochet some hats for us. It's like, fuck you. I'm busy doing construction work. I'm not going to crochet.
I walked into Staples at 3 o'clock on Thursday. I didn't see you, so you weren't working then. So suck it. How dare you not be working at 3 o'clock on Thursday?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why were you at Staples?
I went to Home Depot to get some boards for my making terrain.
All your terrain work, yeah.
So I was doing.
Oh, I think that's because I got a break at 3 o'clock because I had only been there for 7 hours without a break.
Now you get a break.
Oh man,
oh, geez,
like a girly
what
man.
The hell?
Jeez,
man, lame, disappointed.
I just love. How dare I not answer my text messages at a job where I'm not like just sitting in a cubicle?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, I miss text at work because I have to silence my phone. Because if I'm in a meeting and I get like a text or a call, everybody's like...
Well, I might mix a text, a call, because I'm on my phone playing a game. So it's hard to sometimes get...
No,
get
I just... Because my phone's silenced, I do miss both text and calls at work sometimes.
Speaking of you and your work, how's that rapist guy? Did you know him? Jordan knew him. Jordan recognized him when I got a picture.
Oh, yeah. Jordan pointed him out. I didn't know recognize him, but Jordan totally did recognize him. Yeah.
What?
This guy used to work at Epic.
Well, he did work at Epic at the time.
At the time, he worked at Epic,
It's used to because he just got arrested for about 40 felonies.
Well, yeah, he's a serial rapist.
Yeah.
You know,
well, all he does is drug them and then sexually
sex
assault
them
and then take pictures of their naked bodies to save
right.
for later.
This does segue into my story. I just had a neighbor.
You just got arrested for raping someone?
My apartment next to my apartment is empty, and I... Ordered some pizza, and suddenly opened the door, and it was like four young girls are moving to the apartment next to me.
So we're all going over to Brian's after this.
I'm just telling you. I opened up for this pizza guy, and I'm like, holy crap, there's like a whole harem of hot women just wandering around.
We are four young single gentlemen. We can go speak to these new neighbors.
Three single gentlemen, one...
I'm not married yet.
Nobody needs
I'm
to know.
I'm not married.
Well, there you go. See, you're not
She's sleeping. She'll never know.
She'll never know. She'll never find out.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
That's probably true.
Let's be honest. Do any of us listen to the podcast after we record it?
I do.
You do. You have to do timestamps.
I do because I do timestamps. Yeah.
And I do because I'm sad.
I've tried it. I'm like, why are they talking about such crap constantly?
Yeah, that's us.
So speaking of things that are awesome, Andy went to DICON.
He did.
And he had some stories from us.
Oh, jeez.
We cut him out last week.
There's your intro.
You just absolutely, completely, guys, cut me out last week.
I know. Well, with John.
Not nearly as much as I cut out Jeff, to be honest.
I will say with John here, I felt like we harassed Travis a bit more than normal because of John. Like, his presence brought out, like, the Travis harassment.
Travis wasn't here.
I know, but John was here.
Yeah, but he was harassed.
Man, after I was here, I just feel that his influence, we over harassed Travis.
I'm just glad we finally got some on-air and viral bear playing.
That
did happen.
That was pretty cool.
That's the important aspect.
I didn't listen to the podcast. Did it come through pretty well in the background?
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. I mean, at one point, I wanted to reach through and shoot all of you in the face because Jeff could just not say three words in a row. And I was just like, oh, my God, I want to kill all of you. But other than that, it was good. You know.
What's the problem with that?
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
Have you met Jeff? I mean, we met Jeff. We were helping our
repeatedly.
Well, he's Pegasus Games' new press ganger, from what I can tell.
Yeah. What? Much. He's been doing every last.
He's been doing all the demos for the last new couple people. Weeks.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he has.
Well, somebody's been too good to play games with new people.
I want a Battlebox game, Andy. Could you play a Battlebox game? Fuck you, I'm busy with big kid games.
I the only Battlebox I had on me at the time was the Crix Battlebox.
I can lose with a Crix Battlebox. It's not that hard.
Well, you can lose with anything.
Right? And as a press ganger playing a Battlebox game against a new player, it's like, if your worry was that you were going to beat the game out of them, you weren't losing hard enough.
Although I did watch Jeff, he was like, this is how you do attack. He like rolled and he rolled like a 6-6-5. Like, well, that's how you hit or whatever. You know, he was just rolling some hot dice on his demo game. It was kind of funny.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
Right.
No, he's been doing fine.
So DICON. Anyway.
Yeah, how did this go into DICON to admonish Andy for his press gainerism?
Well, you don't do demos, so you can at least tell us about
DICON.
I do
demos. I've done demos a ton of times before.
You said doo-doo.
Doo-doo,
you
did.
Poop.
He only demos at cons. That's the important place.
Yeah. He only demos at conventions, yes. That's what Brian just said, too. I was going to say something meaner, but then I stopped.
I love you, Andy.
See, if Katie was here, the room would be more balanced out. There's no
I don't know
balance.
That would. I'm pretty sure she'd be piling on.
I love you, Andy. Tell me about DICON. I don't want to tell about DICON anymore.
Yeah,
people at DICON.
I'm just dying
to hear about DICON.
Thanks, Gwen.
Afraid not.
Ass. Jesus Christ. All right, so I went down to DICON. It was a wonderful three-day event down in wonderful St. Louis. Not really in St. Louis, on the outskirts of St. Louis, stuck in fucking Illinois.
Was it near Springfield? Because that's where Cool Kurt's from.
That's what. I love that, because no one gets it. And even that thread was so great.
That Facebook conversation you had with Carl was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Just a patsy, just wandering pie-eyed into something he didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, it was. I cried a little bit at work laughing at my desk. People were like, what's happening? It'll make no sense to you.
This guy knows where someone's from accurately. It's funny. Okay, Brian. So anyway, DICON.
Oh, my God. I refuse to be the new Jeff on the podcast or the Jeremy on the podcast.
But there's a Jeremy on the podcast. He can't be the new Jeremy.
Yeah. Shut up, Jeremy.
Yeah. So I participated in the 35-point event on Friday. Unfortunately, my first opponent was Keith. And stop moving the RC-10.
Go on.
Give me the RC-10.
Yeah, Keith. You said Keith?
Yeah. I took out Keith. It was a pretty close battle. Thing is, though, we have to learn when Protective Fit triggers and what to do when Protective Fit triggers. Like, one, don't have your caster within 4 to 6 inches of Mulg. And two, when Protective Fit triggers, make your attack.
Yeah.
So you just wandered over to his caster and were like, hey, buddy, what's up?
Well, yeah. I was really more excited that the fact that I was stopping Kane from shooting Doomshaper anymore.
Right. So you just engaged him with Mulg?
So I just engaged him. I was like, oh, yes, success. And, it went. I almost killed him. I had a really big spell hit him. I can't think of the name of the damn spell. Stranglehold. I hit him with a boosted Stranglehold. God damn it. Leave the RC-10 alone.
I'm touching it. Jeremy's touching it. Go on, Stranglehold.
Yeah. And the second Stranglehold missed, and unfortunately that was the end of the game, because that was my last ditch effort to kill Keith. And my second game was against Larry Brock. It took Doomshaper versus Asphyxius. Why are you yawning? God damn it.
Asphyxius 2? 3?
No,
1.
1.
One. Nice.
Yeah. We had a very brutal day of dying a million times.
Oh, my God. My bad. My bad. That was actually... Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, I'm on.
That was actually your third game? It was your fourth? It was your second?
No, actually my second game was against Jonathan Barkett, where I took Jarl against his Gristle list. And
Gristle 1, Gristle 2?
Gristle 1. And I was able to pull out a scenario victory off of him, Larry Brock. I killed Asphyxius with a dice minus 8, Stranglehold, from across the board.
How many hits do you have left?
I think 6 hit points.
That's a pretty good Stranglehold.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a little upset about that.
You think?
I had nothing left in my army either.
14s happen.
Yep.
Like I went to pick up a gun today, and I rolled a 1 and dropped it.
He did.
3 times.
3 times.
And then it had sword hands.
My fourth game, well, I'll just easily just say that it'll be the reason why I hate time turns in a tournament, and why Death Clock should always be used. I had an opponent, my fourth game, sat there for 5 minutes of a 7-minute turn on the final round, trying to move 4 models. And he was ahead of me by control points. And Mulg was within 4 inches of his caster on the edge of the kill box. So
you can call the TO over. That's if it's blatant stalling.
It didn't feel like it at first, but it just, you know, as it just drug on for pretty much the entire term. So two of his models were engaged by another one of my models, so they weren't doing anything but just attacking that model. The other model was a range model that could just shoot someplace. And then it was his caster, and caster was in, you know, my Earthborn was well within range of getting to her, and Mulg was well within range of getting to her, and he just
those are always frustrating spots. I've luckily, I've played enough people, you can always tell the quality of the person you're playing against when they don't, go slow. And, I mean, sometimes, sure, their caster's in tough spots, so they're going to need to think about it for a little bit of time. But when you know there's a point that goes, you know, there's a point in it, whether past a half a minute to a minute, where when you know it's the last game, or you know this person is just skewing the system versus trying to play it honest at a better game.
Yeah, I mean, he was ahead of me by scenario points, so he knew that when dice down was called that he was going to win, yeah. And I knew that I had to push the action to get at him to kill his caster, and bygones be bygones. I didn't mention who I took on, so I'm going to leave that at that.
I don't know. It seems to me somebody like that needs public derision, but whatever.
I don't think he honestly meant it, but it sure as hell felt like it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
My fifth game into the day was against Crump. I think I may be one of his last opponents playing Rhett.
He played Rhett in the 35?
Yeah, he played Rhett in the 35. He didn't...
got it beat out of him.
it was kind of funny. He just shot the hell out of my army. Then he proceeded to put Admonition onto his Banshee.
So Ossian then.
Yep, it's a Ossie. Yep. I was taking Doomshaper 1. Mulg went up there, charged one of the Invictors that was next to the Banshee. Banshee walked away. Mulg then punched an Invictor.
And walked over.
Goaded. Clubbed another Invictor, goaded into the Banshee, smashed the Banshee a bunch of times. Last hit of his Cantankerous, whatever it is, slammed the Banshee over the top of Ossian.
Oh, jeez.
Which pushed Ossian even closer to Mulg. And then it was his turn. He proceeded to shoot the hell out of Mulg. Mulg was still left with 15 health. Then Mulg proceeded to complete the business.
Yeah.
So... He shot him with a lot. He had a whole bunch of bad die rolls.
Did he just not have the room to get the Banshee out of the... Because the Banshee should have moved 3 inches away from Mulg. Or was Mulg closer than 2 inches away from him?
Cantankerous is 2 inches.
Goat is 2 inches?
Or
Goat is 2 inches.
Goat's 2 inches, okay.
Yeah. So he
there's
just,
not much you can do about that.
He walked away, and then I just proceeded to just follow him.
Yep.
I figured that's what he was going to do. That's why I charged a different model first, so I could make sure I goed off of it. My last game was against on the 35 was against Ben Lang, which was Reshath versus Doom Shaper 1, and I proceeded to a Rampager. Rampager this, bring it forward, kill it. Rampager that, move it away.
That's why you always arm lock your own beasts.
Rampager, pretty good spell.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Although one time I fought someone that had Rampager, and then I arm locked my shield for no apparent reason instead of my arm, and then they shot the guy to death. And then I stare at the table, and I'm like, I'm going to take a break from War Machine for the rest of the day. Because I'm obviously incompetent right now.
You unlocked your own shield?
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't move me. I mean, I was stopping Rampager.
That is true.
You can do headlocks.
I could have.
Those are a thing.
I had all sorts of things I could have done. I said shield for... No, I just said that's without
don't
ever
you
shield.
You have to actually lock a weapon system
no,
on a beast?
No, you can lock a
headlock.
There's a headlock
is a thing.
Yeah,
it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I guess just to prevent them from moving?
Yeah. I've never understood why you would headlock other than locking your own beast in general, unless there's a weapon system there.
Yeah, there's some that do. There are. A lot of the bone chickens have got heads.
Yeah, they do. But it's a weird thing to do against most jacks.
So, all in all, my only loss I felt really deserved was against Keith. And so, I thought I did pretty good.
Crap at.
Yeah, so next day I was supposed to take place in hardcore. I decided to sleep instead. For an extra hour.
You borrowed models, you practiced for it, you're all prepared, you're all talking about it.
You
blew off demos to get ready for hardcore.
I ran one game!
Oh, I didn't say okay, yes, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, practiced, yes, okay. I just decided not to do hardcore.
Who won hardcore?
Hmm?
Who won hardcore?
This is Jason Watt.
No, he didn't win hardcore.
Yeah, he did.
He won Masters.
Oh, who won hardcore?
It was
some guy from St. Louis, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought it was from Springfield.
Oh, you're right, Springfield.
Cool Kurt. Cool Kurt one. Oh, crap.
God, seriously. Once you said he was from Springfield, boom, jarred my memory.
Oh, yeah. So I took place in the...
You know, someone's going to go up to Kurt. We heard you from... You know, at some point, someone's going to like make some reference to him away from Springfield. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Good old cool Kurt. He's from Springfield, you know.
It never gets old. Everyone, no one else appreciates that humor.
I'm not doing it to entertain other people. This is pure masturbatorial humor here. This is, it's funny to me.
Yeah, it is.
Good times.
So no hardcore for Andy, so he did other things?
Yeah, I went into the 75-point event, two casters. My two casters I chose were Wonderful Jarl and... Oh, crap, I can't even remember who I took. But...
Wow, I'm glad you were like, I really want to talk about Daikon, guys.
I'm glad I prepared on this.
The caster was blue.
Yes. I took a Trollblood caster.
Okay. Could have been white.
Yeah.
True.
No, it was actually Jarl and Doomshaper 1. Doomshaper 2, actually. I decided to go with the little Fury.
You can't
Fury
do Doomshaper 1, Doomshaper 2. That's not legal.
No, I did Jarl and Doomshaper 2.
Oh, okay.
My first game was against another crazy opponent, and that was Brian White, I believe from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Not from Springfield.
Nope. No. The thing about the Atlanta crew is they play 75.2 caster games every week.
Yeah, they
That's
play a lot.
Thing they do. That's like a normal rotation. Yeah. Where everyone else is like, yeah, I got everything. Like, you don't do that normally because it's not fun and it takes too long.
It can be fun, but it's just not.
It's fun maybe it's once in a great but
I figured out how to make it fun.
Well, yes.
Don't play it?
Well, no, he has a 14
Vanguard. I have a blast playing two casters.
Yeah, but your models... Points. By the way, if you have Nathan's models and you're painting his Vanguards, he actually needs them back.
Eventually,
so,
yeah.
Well, soon. Because Nathan's nice and doesn't... like. I don't think he falls with people. If I was him, I'd be texting and emailing like every 3 hours going, hey, both those models I gave you 7 months ago.
Yeah.
I need them in 4 months. So, hey, get those models back to Nathan because he needs them.
Yeah. I've got five of them back. I have six of them back. So there's eight of them still out there. And those eight of them are in the hands of five people. So half of the people have sent them back.
Well, that's something.
That's something.
To put it in a reference, I probably could have painted one in the time period.
That's horrifying. Anybody who still has them, you should be ashamed.
Jim, however, would not be down with them. So.
No. Jim would have had Jim would have painted an arm.
He'd be done with them specifically to not be done with Ben's Rhett still.
Yeah. Probably true.
Yeah.
So the 75, I lost against Brian White, and then I won by scenario of my second game against a Kator opponent. And my third game, I took on wonderful Haley 2 and E. Kane, and I watched my opponent killbox himself.
What?
With two casters, first round. And I was, or second turn. I was just watching Haley move over, cast some spells, and I'm like, oh! And then I'm watching Kane just, he was all the way over in the corner, walk over, cast snipe onto the galloping gunners, and I'm like, oh! And I'm trying to hold it because I don't want to give it away that I see that he's made a horrible, horrible, horrible mistake. So I wait until my turn starts, and I'm like, dude, I think that you just lost.
What happens if you double kill box and two caster?
You both get so two, my, there's two
four
victory
or 5 points.
You get four of the victory points.
Yes.
Jeez.
It's so, not one or more. It's each war caster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. So harsh. Then I just moved up a bunch of things, destroyed the
objective,
and that was it.
I mean, against some opponents, I could be like, hey, you know, we're not in the winning bracket, so, but you know, when you're facing Kaney Haley, you're not going to be. Hey, by the way,
no, I didn't want to face that.
Yeah, you want that game over with as soon as possible. That's about the only good case scenario.
Yeah. Had it been anybody else, it would have been, I probably would have said, okay. Make sure you move those guys into the zone. And then pretty much for the rest of DICON, I did nothing. I went to Denny's with Chuck and the guys. And Sunday, I played games with Clifton Klein. In fact, I got that game. He told me how about it.
Escape from Atlantis. That's a good game.
It is a pretty decent game.
The 30th anniversary edition.
Yep.
That's nice.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it's definitely something we got to get over there. I did win a nice round of Epic Spell Wars as well. We were playing with six people, and everybody else won one. And I didn't win any, and I ended up winning two in a row to take the
That's always the last good. Winning. Because when you play six people, you don't want it to go the 12 rounds. But you know, somehow it always goes at least 10. You know,
it does.
It's not like it was like four, because even if it goes eight, it's not too bad. But, you know, that game's fun to me, like five-ish rounds. After five, I'm a little...
Was this the same game where Keith got, like, the most amazing spell off ever?
Yeah.
Okay. No, that was at my birthday party.
Yeah, that was at the party.
Same. No, I know it's the same game. I didn't know if it was the same.
Somebody did pew and pew into a pew and pew that also got the Zorb thing adds them to the end, and also got another Zorb thing in there, too. So I think that guy's spell was, like, a couple cards longer than Keith's.
That's pretty brutal.
It's pretty brutal.
I'm going to smile and nod.
Mm-hmm.
You played
not,
it
you've played never that played that game.
He's Zorbued. Wow, that sounds great.
That's a cool game.
He moved his meeple.
You have not played
Meeples,
Epic Spell Wars yet?
Tell me more. No, I have not played Epic, whatever. It's a pants fart. Whatever. Spells.
Oh. So, speaking of games, I'm going off topic.
What?
You have Carcassonne. You have
I do
box.
Have Carcassonne. The big
and
box.
I mentioned to a friend I play Carcassonne. I thought it was kind of random. And I swear to God, we almost got in a fist fight at work. He's like, that game is not random. It's all skill.
Carcassonne?
Yeah, Carcassonne. Anything? I mean, I understand there's some
skill.
I mean,
don't get me wrong. There's skill involved. But there's a lot of luck in Carcassonne.
I've played that game tens of hundreds of times. And it's all skill. I'm like, I mean, if you pick 12 roads in a row, yes, you can kind of, you know, you have some things you can do. But you're in some ways.
Katie has the single worst luck in that game ever. We used to play two-player. Because it is playable two-player. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Except
yeah.
When Katie and I play two-player, I turn over every single city card in the deck, and she turns over nothing but roads, turn after turn. I get all five monasteries, turn after turn, just road.
It's Greek to me.
Oh, you don't know Carcassonne?
No.
Roads are not the way to win the game in Carcassonne. They're just not.
Evidently, the expansions add elements. That
they do. They do. And Katie really likes like the expansion, the Princess role. And the Dragon, because there's a dragon that rampages around and like kills your meeples, which is kind of fun, but...
I just want to throw that. I just there's a look on his face when I told him I didn't really like the game as much. It was interesting.
Yeah. Well, what was great was we sat down to play it because my mom was here. We were like trying to come up with a game that my mom could play, and she's like, "Oh, we'll show you Carcassonne." So we're playing, and Brian was like, "I don't think I've ever played this game," and I was like, "Oh wow, a game Brian's never played. That never happens. I never get to introduce any of the 3D games. We've all played all of them, and we're playing it. And we get about three turns in. He's like, "I just remembered this game. I think I blanked it from my memory because it's the worst game ever."
Yeah,
it's not the worst game ever.
No, I refined.
It's fine for what it is. I mean, I have it on my shelf. I don't have the little expansions. The one that comes in the wood box, Carcassonne the Castle. No, not Castle Carcassonne. Carcassonne the City. The one where you build walls. That one's my favorite of the Carcassonnes because there is more skill involved.
I haven't played that one yet.
It's not an expansion to the original game. It's its own independent box.
Okay.
But it's really good.
That's kind of like Settlers of Catan, which did kind of run out of steam for me eventually.
Cities and Knights is the way to go.
Cities and Knights is good, but actually there's a completely separate two-player version of Settlers.
Yeah.
That I thought was actually legitimately more fun to play. Once you figured out the game, the two-player game was more fun to play, in my opinion,
than the four-player. Gen Con had the Star Trek version of Catan that they sold out pretty well.
Interesting.
Pretty neat.
I mean, I'm sure it's the same exact rules, just
actually,
Star Trek.
Actually, like a couple elements different, but it was like 90% the same with
I mean, I like Star Trek, so I'd get sucked into that. But
I just said I got to, on Friday, I went board gaming with a buddy, and we played Trois, which is the box. It is spelled Torres, so if you've seen T-O-R-E-S, yeah, apparently it's pronounced Trois, but I kept calling it Torres, much to the annoyment of everybody around me. But it was a lot of fun. It was a pretty good worker placement game.
Okay, cool. I haven't played that one.
Yeah, and I was happy because I also busted out Puzzle Strike.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I forgot how much I love that game.
That one is...
You've talked about that a lot.
At Adepticon, the mom guys were playing the crap out of Puzzle Strike.
Yeah. I forgot how much. Because I let them talk me into playing Dominion on Friday. Mm. And I hate deck building games. Because I should love them. And they all have a mechanic that makes me hate them. And
you're playing against yourself. You're just playing by yourself.
Not only are you just playing against yourself, but every single one of those deck building games not every single one. There's one or two exceptions.
The core,
but most of them, because they're all ripping off Dominion, which was the first one, is you draw your hand, you do your stuff, then you discard your hand and draw a new one. And it's that second to last step that pisses me off. Because if I'm building, if you think of tactical card games like Magic or the Co-op War of the Rings you have your combo cards, you hold half of it until you draw the second half so you can do your combo. But in Dominion and all the ones that ape it, because you never hold your cards, you have to discard all of them, the only correct strategy is to trash as many cards from deck as possible until your deck is four cards large so you draw everything and do your Uber combo every single hand.
Well,
and that's fucking boring and lame.
Yes, sir, I don't like the game either, but I think there's a few more elements to it. I also have to warn, when we ever get together with certain groups, I have a lot of friends who are like it, who come to our board game days, and I know some of us don't. So I always have to warn people, like, okay, someone that says to be Dominion, just not say no politely. Because I have some friends who, they own everything, it's their favorite game, and it works for their group, so that's good. But I mean, it's just like I have to like warn people, like, okay, don't diss this game, because it's their baby, and...
Play Puzzle Strike instead, because you can save chips with the piggy bank skill to next turn. So if you have half a combo, you can save it. And you have direct player interaction.
Yeah, I would never.
What a concept. Direct player interaction in a game.
Yeah. Oh, I would never go out of my way to
It's like you're playing with people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or meeples.
That's amazing.
Peoples or meeples, either way.
Man, every time you mention meeples, I keep on thinking of Perfect Strangers.
we do the Dance of Joy. I like to annoy hardcore casual gamers. Hardcore, you know, Euro gamers and whatnot. I use meeple as the plural because people is plural.
Right.
And I call one of them a mercen.
Nice.
I'm going to put my mercen over here, and now there's two meeple. So they get mad.
I couldn't go over to your... Because you went over to... What's his name again?
Justin,
who's a cool guy. But some of his friends are so hardcore Euro games. I love when I'm over there. I always recommend playing some America Trash game. Not that I want to play a game, but I just have to say, hey, let's play the cast in the old world. Because they start to twitch. Like, the idea of playing an American game, their balls shrivel up in their body, and they just start to convulse, and they vomit. Well, and I just love it. I love
number
bringing
one,
it up
that's
every
fun.
Time.
Number two, there's enough people there. Like, there were eight people there. Yeah. If you'd come, we just split into two or three games.
Yeah.
So, like, four of us could have played Fortress America while the other five played Meeple Extravaganza or whatever Euro thing they wanted
to do. Oh, I've learned a lot of new games there, and I actually love when I win games there, because to me, that's like Euro Game Central. So, on those, you know, I don't win a lot of games there, but whenever I beat those guys there, I feel like I'm in enemy territory, like actually conquering people who like play these games an insane amount. So it's worth the win's worth more to me.
Yeah, my favorite thing about playing Dominion that time was that
when it was over.
No, well, kind of yes, because the three of us play our games of solo Dominion, and it was whatever. We're just each player can, and there was one guy who just kept drawing like his Uber combo, and it was because in fairness. He had taken the two cards, like card A is draw a million cards and get a million actions, and card B is also draw a million cards, get a million actions, and gain extra money. And so he just every turn would draw his whole deck and get $1 billion and buy something big. And that's because the card A was cost six, and it was also give you a free card, which he then took card B for free. And he was the only person who ever legitimately had $6 on a turn just by sheer random luck of the draw. So every turn he'd be like, draw a million cards, buy something awesome, draw a million cards, buy something awesome, just sheer dumb luck. And then after the game's over, he's like, yeah, well, my huge tactical thing I think I did that allowed me to defeat you guys, blah, blah. I'm like, go fuck yourself. Mr. Randomly draw to win. Because meanwhile, I would just draw four victory cards, and then the next turn I'd draw four again. I'm like, there's only four in the deck. How is this happening?
And that's Daikon.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Daikon.
We were.
We actually did for a little while. How was the drive down and the drive up? Like 6 hours?
It was about 5.5. I think it was about 5 hours driving back, though.
It's well, yeah. When
I was going about 80 all the way back.
It's 5.5 to 6 there, 4.5 to 5 back. It's an interesting time warp.
Did nobody from like the extended area go down? Like not even like the Milwaukee crew or anything like that. You could have ridden.
I actually stayed with the Chicago guys.
Oh, okay,
so. Actually Ben Lang.
So. Oh, you nice. Yeah, yeah. Last year for some reason I went down alone last year. This year and Andy went down alone. Hopefully next year we'll get more of us.
I will say that every fucking buddy was asking about you guys, though, too.
Well, right. I was planning to go the whole time.
You're the only one down here again? What the hell?
Again?
Same thing at Lock and Load. Everyone's like, so you're the only one? Where's Nathan? I want to see Nathan. I'm going to punch Nathan.
Yeah.
Stu likes you, by the way.
You couldn't punch me, bitches. I wasn't there to punch.
Stu likes you a lot.
In the pants.
Likes. Nice. Hey, Stu. You can be my new Chad.
Chad's like, aww. So,
you want them to fist fight at your wedding.
Oh, they could be my sister wives. Could they be the bridesmaids? Yeah.
Nice.
Wait, oh. Somebody would have to walk down with them.
Jeremy. Yeah, Jeremy can give them away.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
All of us are going to be at War Machine Weekend, though. So
No, I'm not going. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So everyone who matters will be at War Machine Weekend.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Wah, wah.
Wow. Are we sending anyone to Gen Con?
I'm going to Gen Con.
You are? So you're going to be there?
Am I the only one going to fucking Gen Con, too?
Well, even if we win. I mean, I don't even go for War Machine. I stop by and say hi to some people, but I in no way... Like Travis, I mean, Jake Travis was. I'm going to harass Travis. I'm going to stop.
Shocking. That's never happened.
I was
going to
pick on him, but we did too much last week, so I'm done.
Well, you're calling him Travis. That's a step.
That's his name. When we use the other name too often, it takes it takes the power away a little bit and maybe won't irk him. So I'm going to save that for special occasions. I apologize. Because
he was
Travis.
Trying to own it, and he can't do that.
Correct.
Unacceptable.
I want to see him whimper a little bit and the tear when we use it. Not build up the immunity.
You want to see the spirit broken.
Yeah. So we have to build him back up a little bit before we tear him down again.
So proceed to build up.
No, he's a good guy.
Okay.
Oh, aside that, Andy, you would have been sad. You're sad that you weren't there because at the last Milwaukee event, we referenced the Street Fighter movie, the two good parts of the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, my God.
And nobody else got it. But Brian and I were like, for me, it was Tuesday. And then I was like, change the channel. And everybody else had no clue what we were talking about.
I was making reference. Like, if Travis Andy was the last time, you know, I was using that reference, but with Travis.
Oh, yeah. Like the day that I beat you, the day I didn't declare Thresher with my Rhinodon was the most frustrating day of your life.
For me, it was a Tuesday.
and only Nathan got the joke.
I was so a little hard. Sad. And I just go, quick, change the channel, which made no sense to anybody who didn't get the first reference.
That's how we roll. We make reference after reference to things that only we find funny.
Man, that just makes you think about that one guy from Springfield. I forget his name, though.
Kurt?
Oh!
Cool Kurt.
Right. Anyway, I interrupted you. You were going to talk about something.
Oh, my God. It would be great to have a crippled system t-shirt with Kurt on it that says, I'm from Springfield.
Yes. Yes. There are now three t-shirts that I know for sure that I want to do.
And that's one of them?
Three. No. It's I Speak Swedish.
Right.
The by far the worst War Machine Hordes podcast ever in life. And then what Chili said on Facebook. We did do a t-shirt, which was the Rydia fan path to victory. Which is step one, end turn. Step two, look at table. Step three, weep. That's the path to victory.
We do also need the Zappity Grumble.
Oh, yeah.
We have
point. Zappity Grumble is pretty solid. That's true.
You were talking about Travis, Brian.
No, yes. I'm done. I've moved on.
You were also talking about Gen Con, and I agree with you at Gen Con that it's not, a War Machine event. It is a gaming event. It's something... If you want to play War Machine, play a day, but man, there's so much awesome stuff to see.
I walk around the hall, I see the celebrities at the autograph booth, and look at the cosplay girls.
You got your scorebook signed.
It's kind of my schedule.
Yeah, I got my scorebook signed by a whole bunch of people. I got it signed not only by the Privateer Press staff at the party, a couple of which were obliteratedly drunk, but I won't say who, but it was wonderful how drunk some people were. It was a lot of fun.
Wait, you're going to get us in trouble with that.
No, I'm not going to say who it was, but there was somebody who was like, hey, give me your tickets, because we had drink tickets, and everybody loved them, so we got tickets. Whatever. Although, one of the people who was obliterated drunk was Andy, and he doesn't work for Private Air Press. He doesn't count. Walking back to the hotel, Andy was enjoyable. But... it's adorable. What was I going to say? Oh, I got my scorn book signed by Will Wheaton and Felicia Day.
Yes. Nice. Yeah. Nice. You had a picture of that, too.
I do.
That needs to go up someplace.
I saw Will Wheaton there. I didn't realize she was there, too.
Felicia Day. I saw her twice. Once she was signing my scorn book, the other time she was literally running to the bathroom. She apparently really, really needed to pee.
Did she have any idea why she was signing the book, by the way, when she signed your scorn book?
She was like, what the heck is this? Like, what are these things? Like, pointing at the Titans. I'm like, it's a book.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Sign it.
Just shut up and sign it.
You got my $5, lady. Sign my fucking book.
I don't want to talk to you. Just sign it and shut the fuck up.
The guild might be entertaining, but I had a choice, which was, I've never seen it. And
oh,
I had
really?
A choice of spending $5 to get Felicia Day's autograph or $10 to have these other random people I've never heard of in my life sign it. And so I gave them $5 and walked right past those losers.
that was Heroes? Was that, what's her name from Heroes?
Felicia Day?
No. The other...
They're from the Guild.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Felicia Day has a web TV show.
Yeah,
about,
I know.
Yeah. Well, it was the other people from the Guild. There's some guy and a girl and some other guy, and I just walked right past them because I'm like, none of you are anybody I care about. You weren't in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. That is the criteria for all that is amazing is Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Plus, I almost just kept walking past her because 5 feet past her was Will Wheaton.
The Will Wheaton.
Founder of Wheaton's Law.
Yes.
So Travis,
I don't know if
you
founder
said.
Is the right word. Creator.
Creator of Will. No, he founded it. He said, "Here it is. I found it."
Hilarious. Should we go on to our?
You're not going to talk about Travis at Gen Con?
No, I have nothing to say.
You had nothing to say.
I don't even know. I was going to make some. It wasn't even a Gen Con reference. I was going to tell a Travis story. Gen Con reminded me of something, but now I forgot. It was nothing to do. Those two things weren't together. It just reminded me of the other.
I see. It was an excuse.
Travis is going to be like, he's going to text me on Wednesday or Tuesday. What are you going to talk about? Like, I don't know, Travis. I forgot.
I cannot remember.
He really does know, Travis. He's joking.
I don't know.
Good job, Brian.
Yeah, wink.
Yeah, because we're always on topic so much.
Now
everything
will haunt him.
Yeah. Well, not my fault.
Oh, shit. I was supposed to say the next line from Tale of Two Cities every 15 seconds. I forgot to.
Yeah.
Hold on. It. Anyway.
So should we have our movies that influenced our younger days?
Yeah,
we can do that.
Let's do it.
We can talk about that. It's Andy's topic. I don't know if he wants to go first or last, but was.
You're going a word. I think we're on a line at a time. A word at a time, really.
Yeah.
Well, the first sentence. He's
going to know the only.
He's skipping every 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Like if I do like a whole bunch of stuff, he might skip past half of it. The.
Oh, boy.
I know what the next word is.
Yeah, we got like 8 more seconds. It's going to go for a while.
So, Andy, what are some of your movies?
Best.
Should we each do one and go around?
Yeah, we could do that. That'll work all right.
To quickly refresh
what we're talking about is, I came up with an idea of having a topic where we talk about the... influential movies that shaped you as in your childhood.
In other words, what screwed us up as children that now we play War Machine
Times?
And are on a podcast?
I have a top three.
I did have three.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I have a top three, but I also have an honorable mention. I'm going to sneak that in there. I don't know if anyone else have an honorable mention.
I have a couple. I mean, I like shows and that.
I'm going to do this to the point where you people are counting to 15 in your head and dragging it.
All right. You going to start us off, Andy, or no?
I suppose I could. I would say probably one of my favorite... God damn it. One of my favorite movies as a child, just because it was the first movie my parents ever got on the Betamax, was Smokey and the Bandit.
Nice.
We watched that movie a ton of times. And I still think it's relevant to this day. It's an excellent movie.
A random side note.
Smokey the Bandit 2, Smokey is the Bandit.
No.
That's one of two movies when I was younger. I only saw the second one first. Like, I only saw Smokey the Bandit 2 like 100 times. I saw the first one like once. Same thing with Indiana Jones. I only saw the second one. I didn't even see the first one like 15 years after the second one.
Because you didn't realize it because it was Raiders of the Lost Ark. It wasn't Indiana Jones.
Yeah, so when I saw the temple, I thought the temple was great when I was a kid. I didn't realize people said, oh, it's no. Well, back then you didn't have the internet, so there was no one to tell me it was bad.
That's kind of like Jim's Highlander experience.
Yeah. So I watched it, then suddenly like 15 years later, I watched the first one. I'm like, holy fuck.
That's amazing. Could have been like this.
Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, man, I weep for kids today whose first introduction to Indiana Jones was the crystal meth.
Oh, God, yeah, that's
God
terrible.
God damn. So do they stucco themselves into the wall every night?
Yeah.
Like, they just like, all right, like, guys, time to get stuccoed into the walls.
It's like 2 hours into the stuccoing process, like, Phil, I gotta go to the bathroom. Oh, my God, I told you. Quick, stucco me back in.
Fuck!
Oh, jeez.
Smoking the Bandit, that's a good... should we just all do one then?
Yeah, okay.
Apparently that's how we're rolling.
My first one's also cheating because my first one's two movies that are a tie.
Oh, God.
Well, I saw them at the same... When I was younger, I saw...
So is one of those your honorable mention?
Nope.
Or are you now doing five movies?
I'm doing five movies.
Wow.
These movies that were a tie, I'm bringing because I saw them both within the same day of each other, and I watched them both constantly. Like, my mom got Showtime like when I was younger, so I watched these like an insane amount of times. She actually made me stop watching TV. Because I just watched these two movies.
Okay.
In Superman 2 and Star Wars. So those two movies I just watched nonstop for
months. You seen the other two Star Wars? Like,
no.
You just watched the first one repeatedly, not knowing how it ended.
It was Star Wars New Hope.
Right.
And then
that
I didn't watch...
self-contained. You don't need the trilogy.
So I watched New Hope.
Because there's no Emperor, there's no new... Yeah, I mean, it really is.
And this is like 82.
Oh, okay. So there was just the one.
No, their Empire, I think, could come up. But, I mean, this is a long time ago.
Yeah,
so
like 77, 80,
Superman 2
was when they
and
came out.
Star Wars. Oh, yeah. I watched a million times in a month. Okay. I like, blew my mind for completely different reasons. But I just...
Right.
She's like, no more TV for you.
You are cut off.
Yeah, and I was so sad. And for the record, I had watched Superman 2 about 30 times and Star Wars only about 4. I was about to go on my Star Wars kick and she cut me off. So I felt a little sad about that.
You've caught up since then, though.
Oh, yeah. And I saw Star Wars, and then I saw Return of the Jedi, and maybe 10 years later I saw Empire.
Oh, jeez.
So I didn't see Empire until at least 10, 15 years left after I saw those
movies. Oh, that was screwed your head.
Yeah.
Man, I got to watch my brother when he was in high school and I was in middle school. He had a girlfriend who knew nothing about Star Wars. Like, not even hadn't seen them, but of course, it's pop culture. Like, you know this shit. She didn't know who Vader was, bloodline wise.
Really?
She was confused why there was this annoying little green guy on Yoda's planet. Like, it was magical.
That
like,
would
seeing
be magical.
Somebody like action, like, oh my God, that was Yoda! Like, oh, I was like, oh, it's so wonderful.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually. That would be fun. I haven't had that experience, but that's pretty awesome.
So what's a movie for you?
One of my I haven't been as good about coming up with an exact numbered list, but one of mine, definitely when I was a kid, was Flight of the Navigator.
Yes!
Yeah,
good choice.
That movie was amazing. Like, I just I wanted, like, I was like, you know what? To heck with my family. I'm just going to get on a spaceship with an alien, and we're going to cruise around, and we're going to listen to classic. Is it 70s rock?
It's 80s.
It's 80s.
The movie's 80s,
stuff. Yeah. And we're just going to cruise around and
with Pee Wee Herman as a robot.
Pee Wee Herman occasionally, and it's going to be amazing.
It was Paul Reubens the whole movie.
Well, right, but he only does Pee Wee one time. Yeah,
and one of the more subtle references in Galaxy Quest.
Which one?
The kid guiding them back in with the flares and everything.
Yes.
That's how they do it in Galaxy Quest.
That is exactly how they do it in Flight of the Navigator. But yes, that movie friggin' rocked.
Have you seen it recently though?
I've seen it. The last time I saw it was post
college.
I watched it post college, and it still was enjoyable. I mean, it wasn't like life changing the way it was when I was a kid,
sure.
But it still was like, this is enjoyable. I can watch this.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh my God, what was I thinking?
It wasn't like I want to shoot myself.
It's like when
watch this.
Yeah, the worst for me was as a kid. I loved Hong Kong Phooey, the cartoon, and I saw an episode of it on Boomerang like 5 years ago, and it was the worst pile of crap I've ever seen in my life.
So one
I
thing,
wept.
One of our listeners, Chili. Mentioned because he mentioned you know how some movies get worse when you get older. He had mentioned on Facebook he thought that last movie Weekends didn't stand up.
What?
His page exploded in counterpoints. I watch a movie every so often. That movie still holds up amazingly. That movie has the acting, the music, everything.
All right,
above
so
the
I don't
movie.
Even have a Facebook page. I want to create one just to scream at him, then delete the page.
Last Weekend's amazing.
I know. Had like 40 posts of people just telling him why he was wrong.
Every line, every scene.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Magua says he understands very much.
Yes!
Someday you and I are going to have a serious disagreement. Yes!
That is one of the best lines.
We face north and turn left, real sudden-like.
Yes! So so much. The last Square Game Store,
they always play, like, they always have music kind of playing in the background a little bit, and they have that theme, the soundtrack plays every so often. I stayed in the store like an extra half an hour.
Katie not seen that movie?
I know, right?
Oh my God, she hasn't watched any.
Katie, whatever. See, this is a better, good reason not to have Katie here, because Katie would be like, The Last Unicorn was very important when I was a child.
What? Hey. Actually, I The Last Unicorn is a really good movie.
Oh, my God.
I'm not even a girl, but as a kid, like, I
know you kind of are.
I agree with you. No, I've seen that too.
The thing coming out of the ocean, the Red Bull.
I barely remember it, but I remember liking the
movie. All right, so I never experienced it. When I started dating Katie, she owned it, still owns it, on VHS. And she had a VHS player, and she made me sit and watch The Last Unicorn with her. As a 30-year-old male.
Well, that's the thing. You weren't like an 8-year-old. Like,
and let me tell you, it does not hold up. This was not the magical experiencing of Star Wars 30 years later, is all I'm saying.
All right.
So, Nathan, what's your first movie?
I'll go with...
The Last Unicorn.
Shut up, don't judge me.
I was struggling to come up with three, and then Flight of the Navigator reminded me of one of the ones from my childhood, which was The Explorers.
Oh yeah, yes,
Joaquin's dead brother.
River. Yeah, it's some kids who they take an old tilt-a-whirl, and they make it into a spaceship, and they go out into space, and they meet aliens. And the aliens, like, their dialogue's entirely based on TV, because they've been watching human television and everything, and the movie's great.
So good.
The Explorers.
Now I want to go home and watch
it. Like, I'll tell, like, Raylene, I'm like, it's a movie about kids who go into space in a tilt-a-whirl. And she just looks at me like I'm gibbering. I don't care. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder. Because unless you...
No, go on. Go on.
I'm going to steal a little bit.
I know where this is going. I think I'm not
The Last Starfighter.
Bastard. I'll allow it.
Even nowadays, the graphics in that movie were very, very advanced for the time period.
For the time.
And even nowadays, they're still passable. I mean, they're about, you know, I would say they're a step up from the made-for-TV sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sci-fi TV. I would say the graphics are better from a 30-year-old film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like hearing that.
Yeah.
The movie's 30 years old.
Oh, you're so old.
But yeah, no, The Last Starfighter, just everything dealing with the Death Blossom, the characters from that, it's... Oh, just
that,
so good.
That was one of two childhood movies for me that had specific, like, 10-second stretches that, as a kid, I had to look away from the TV and close my eyes.
Oh, yeah.
When he wipes his face off in the car, it creeped the crap out of me as a kid. Like, oh, it creeped me out. The other one was in the Goonies when they show Sloth for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, when he turns around and you know, when he's still chained up.
That's freaky.
Like, no. Later in the movie, he's just going around and it's whatever, it's just Sloth. But that scene when he turns around and sees Chunk for the first time, oh, my God. Like, I couldn't see the TV. I couldn't look at it.
The alien, the shapeshifter alien. That's in, that's got, like, the bug eyes that are off to the side. That thing freaks the shit out of me.
Yeah, that's freaky too. But for some reason, since it was a monster, I was like, oh, the monster's scary, whatever. And it was supposed to be scary. And I'd look at him and I'd be scared. But when he wipes his face off, it just creeped me out.
I still can hear the noise, like the moth noise that he kept on overhearing with his head. I keep on still hearing that. That movie is so great.
Ryan, what's your second movie that's actually one movie this time?
This is one movie. This is not a good story for me because it makes people think I'm maybe insane or crazy.
Maybe.
You know how you see a movie when you're younger and you think you pull up maybe a role model? Like, I grew up, I want to be an astronaut because I saw a movie with an astronaut, or I saw a movie with this. Well, when I grew up...
Is this American Psycho?
No. That was older. I saw Friday the 13th series. And I thought, when I grew up, I want to be like Jason Voorhees. That sounds like a fun...
What?
Going out there, you know, people are out...
Ryan's no longer my friend.
I'm gonna stop you here for a second. I'm gonna let you finish. Which movie did you see, and why did it make you want to be like Jason Voorhees?
Well, not number one, because obviously Munda's Mom.
Right.
And I wasn't even the two or three.
Was it just, you're nebulously just saying the series?
It's kind of the series. Okay. It's kind of the series. More four and six are the ones that really solidified. And six still came out when I was young. Four and six for still.
Because one of those doesn't have Jason either. I think it's like five or
five has
five
someone mimicking him.
Yeah.
Although they have. But anyway. So
it also has.
I watch those movies. Actually,
Crispin Glover.
I know more about those movies than a person should know.
I do know one thing. Because didn't you used to run...
I used to run the thing.
And the thing? What? Like
Web page? I used to run like FridayThe13th.com and had a bunch of...
What?
I remember the day. We had web pages. I used to do a lot of web page stuff, and I ran like a big horror-themed...
Wow.
He was contacted by Joe Bob. Joe Bob Briggs from MonsterVision?
Yeah, the MonsterVision. They did the TV shows. They actually sent, got me information. They wanted to have all the stats. Because I had all the stats of like each movie and people died and what all happened. So I sent them. And then when he did like a Halloween special, they pulled information from what I sent them for their specials.
I have weird friends.
The reason why I know this is because I was with Brian when he was recording or like writing down like, okay, in this movie, this person dies to a weed whacker. And this person dies to a pitchfork. You know? And he would have all the stats down. How many? Who all died in the film? Everything.
Wow,
it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I love slasher flicks. That's the best of them all.
I loved the relaunch Friday the 13th movie. That was amazing.
It was good, but I enjoyed it. There were elements that bugged me, but the fear and violence of the Jason.
I thought it got it perfect. The gratuitous nudity, the stoner humor, the amount of gore. I thought it was just pitch perfect slasher flick.
Well, he lived in his little like his cave with his alarm system was kind of a little.
Yeah.
A silly. But I liked the movie. Yeah. I mean, it was enjoyable.
I also love the body count before the opening credits.
Oh, no, that's
when the opening credits came up, because like, the audience got more and more confused as 90% of the kids had already been killed. We're like, you're gonna blow your load here, Jason. You got another hour of movie before, and there's like one kid left. And then they found out that wasn't even the kids for the movie. That was just bonus victims pre-credit sequence.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I'm looking at movies from the 80s. Now, there's some of these movies from the 80s that I can't pick as my child because they might have been me later on. But that movie was such a huge – like that Friday the 13th stuff was just amazing to me as a kid.
You disturbed me on so many, many levels.
Kids would go out to the woods. Kids would be smoking and having sex when they shouldn't be, and he just punished them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like you're doing bad things.
He's morally justified.
Yes.
He is morally justified.
Made sense to younger Brian. So that's my second movies.
Okay. My second one, and I feel like we've actually talked about this one, or maybe it came up when one of the other guys were talking about theirs, The Sandlot.
Right.
I think it was on the web.
Okay, because that was going to be one of mine anyway, but I feel like it did come up, and so it's been discussed already, but The Sandlot was just amazing. Like, my family, I moved around a lot as a kid, and so, like, I just identified with this kid who moves into a town, and it's just like, nobody knows him, nobody likes him. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's part of the vernacular there. I think I mentioned that thread, but I saw The Sandlot as a double feature at a drive-in theater with the Super Mario Brothers movie with Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo.
Nice.
Number one, that was a magical double feature because, man, that Super Mario Brothers movie was certainly an experience. And number two, the dog they used in the Sandlot is male, and there's a shot where it jumps directly over the camera when it's chasing the kid in the big sequence. And on a drive-in theater, that dog's balls were approximately 15 feet tall.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
And it was like, oh, those are balls bigger than my house.
Nice.
I'm going to let you in on a secret.
Huh.
I've never seen it.
The Sandlot?
What?
I've never seen it either.
I've never seen The Sandlot.
I've seen a few scenes flipping sands, but I've never...
judging both of you right now. Right now, you're being judged.
It's fairly recent. For like, keep in mind, like the age. Like they were.
I mean, they're
a little bit closer to high school.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I was older when it came out.
I was middle school.
Well, I probably was too. I mean, you're about my age.
My bad.
I think this was a '90s movie. Not
is it
you know,
really that?
And that's
that
the thing.
Recent?
Yeah,
man. Like, because when I think back on it, I feel like I remember it as a child. But
yeah,
that means
'90s
I was at least
is
10.
Child for you.
Well, I was born
you
80.
Kid. Gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't like a kid. Oh, yeah. I loved The Sandlot. That was amazing.
I'm going to possibly steal some of Andy's thunder, but maybe not because he might have forgotten to mention
don't
this
do
movie.
It. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
You got the touch.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's fine. Right. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
The Transformers movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They kill Transformers. What's happening? Oh, my God. Like, that was. Well, the Transformers movie. I'm going to make it a tie. The Transformers movie and the G.I. Joe movie. Like, both of those movies as a kid. I watched a million times. I had the Serpentor toy and everything. But the Transformers movie was such an experience. What?
Interesting fact about the G.I. Joe movie.
Huh.
The reason why Duke did not die in it is because of the Transformers movie.
Right.
That's the only reason why
Duke
didn't die.
They were going to do the same thing.
Yeah, they were going to do the same thing.
Like, so the Transformers movie, in case any of you out there aren't cynical and jaded enough, only existed so that they could kill off all of the characters and relaunch a new toy line.
Yup.
Like, they're like, oh, kids already own Optimus Prime and Megatron. We'll make new heroes
we
and
can
villains.
Fix that.
Yeah. So it's just amazing. Like, as a kid, you go to see a movie about these, the TV
your
show.
Heroes.
The heroes. You don't expect all of them to be torn asunder. You don't expect death and destruction. You don't expect Optimus fucking Prime to die.
That fight now, if you watch it, Optimus fight versus Megatron, it's still amazing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's an awesome fight. And the opening sequence, though, where the Decepticons board the, I think it was the Ark or whatever the Autobot ship was, and you just see like Ironhide die and everybody just get murdered.
Yeah, and there's like no Shia LaBeouf, and it's great. Like, the movie's called Transformers, and it's about Transformers. Like, the humans are there. As supporting characters, they're there. They do some stuff, but the movie is mostly about the Transformers.
Wait. So what you're telling me is there's a Transformers movie, and there's no humans that go to robot heaven? I'm confused.
You missed my rant because you weren't here like a traitor. I'm not going to go back into it. I won't talk about the offensive racism. I won't talk about any of that stuff.
Spike did play a somewhat integral part of the...
Yeah,
of Transformers, but he's not the
main character.
He's not the movie. Like,
he's an important character. He's one of the characters, but the movie isn't about the adventures of Spike and his robot buddies.
No, yeah. it's not.
Actually, that movie is only about 40 minutes good for me.
Yeah,
because then once there's Rodimus Prime, I'm done.
Hey, Rodimus Prime.
No, I'm done. I'm seriously done after that. The true next one in the leadership should have been fucking Ultra Magnus because he is fucking awesome.
He didn't touch the thing first.
He didn't touch the net. Brian has heard me rant about this.
You want
a
merit-based promotion system versus a I touched it first system?
Hey, when they brought Optimus Prime back, that was amazing in the show. As a kid, you're like, oh my God, he's back. It was
a
multi-part episode. You're like, this is the greatest thing ever.
The third day, they roll the rock away, and then Optimus Prime comes out.
Nice.
That's pretty much what it is. I don't
save the universe.
Yeah,
Optimus Prime
was,
died for
was,
your sins.
No, because if I remember correctly, oh my God, this is geeking out a little bit. I think there was a gigantic virus that was going around taking control of everybody.
It was taking control of everything.
Yeah.
It made me scared as a child.
Ooh, quick trivia. Yeah. Quick trivia for you. Do you know Optimus Prime's real name?
Peter Gabriel.
Jesus?
No.
Mac Truckington? Mac Von Truckinson.
Mac Von Truckinson?
Oh, also no. Times. I think I'm behind.
Orion Pax.
Orion Pax?
Yep.
That's a porn star name.
That is a porn star name, man.
I have no idea why I remember that still.
Huh. That's fascinating. Yep,
so what's your third movie, Andy?
Is it? Is it my third already? Yep. Oh, yeah. Well... My third movie comes with an interesting story.
Yes, I know what you're going to... This better be the story you're going to tell.
Yeah. So, my parents were very strict. They never let me watch any kind of R-rated film. They never let me watch any kind of PG-13 film because it didn't exist when I was 13. But anyway, I couldn't watch any of those bad movies because they're bad. And I, when I was very young, figured out how to use the Beta player. And way early in the morning, I popped in Conan the Barbarian. And I watched Conan the Barbarian all the way through, all of its gratuitous violence and sex and such. And my mom came out into the living room, saw me watching Conan the Barbarian, went back to the room, got my dad. My dad came out, turned off the Beta player right about the time when Arnold chopped off James Earl Jones's head, was holding it aloft, and then threw it down the stairs. My eyes were so large, I honestly could not fall asleep for the next 2 weeks. I couldn't close my eyes without seeing heads rolling downstairs.
And the great thing is there's like 30 more seconds in that movie.
Yeah, and that's it. So I saw the whole thing when I was like 6, and that's probably why I'm the way I am.
Well, my honorable mention was going to be I saw The Exorcist when I was like 8, and that really fucked me up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a movie you should see when you're like 8.
I don't even like watching that movie now.
No, I can't. I can't.
I saw Alien when I was like 8 as well. Like that fucked me up. But same similar thing. I was actually – my family was staying at my aunt and uncle's place, and they went out to do whatever, and I woke up in the middle of the night and found Alien and put it in the Betamax player and watched Alien when I was like – oh, and so that messed me up. But the one that really fucked me up was we had HBO, and I turned on HBO and caught a 30-second snippet of – Poltergeist 2.
Oh, jeez.
I caught when the guy swallows the tequila worm and then pukes out that, like, slug demon monster thing.
Nice.
All right? So for no lie, I was, like, 6 or something when I saw this happen. So for the next at least 8 years, because I did it into middle school and almost into high school. I would strain my orange juice to make sure there was no pulp, because I couldn't, like, swallowing the pulp made me think of that poltergeist scene. It was so ingrained in my head.
Nice.
Like, let me in.
That's the thing. Those, just all I saw was a dude swallow a worm and puke it up. I've seen no other part of that movie since.
Oh, like, really?
Those are the 30 seconds of that movie I've seen, and it so fucked my brain up that my behavior was changed for a decade.
So you didn't even get what I was just talking about. There's a crazy preacher guy.
I couldn't drink orange juice for a decade without literally straining it through a sieve to make all the pulp be gone.
That's one of the last few PG movies, too.
Yeah,
because like, when I worked in a video store, we could put in PG movies. So I'd always find like the old 80s horror movies that were still PG. So I put in like Poltergeist. That movie should not be
PG.
No, yeah. Poltergeist. Both those Poltergeist movies are pretty good.
Yeah,
I honestly have not seen three. First, I've heard it's not very good.
The first two are pretty amazing.
Pumpkinhead's good too. Speaking of 80s horror movies, yeah, that's more obscure one, but I love Pumpkinhead.
Oh, Pumpkinhead's great. So my third one, I had a hard time picking my third one because obviously there's a million movies, but I think I'm going to go with Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
I could give another, yeah. I was between that and Back to the Future. I couldn't decide.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Those are both amazing, but I think Ghostbusters had more of an influence on me.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I'm glossing over a bunch of really big, awesome movies that I will watch all that, like Ghostbusters and Mashpee and stuff like that, just because if I'm looking strictly on personal impact on me.
Right.
That's different than favorite movies.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. Because like there are movies that I watched so many times I wore out the tape, and they're not necessarily the ones I'm mentioning because they just didn't, like, I enjoyed them.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So
I mean, this is just something that strictly from your childhood.
Yeah.
My movies are mostly from between like 82 and 85. That, you know, the ones that really had the biggest impact.
Yeah. Ghostbusters is great. Ghostbusters 2, underrated sequel.
It's all right. I mean, it's good.
It's only flaws that it isn't Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's true. Like, as a movie, Ghostbusters 2 is great. It is. I love Janosch.
It's enjoyable.
He's okay. It's great.
I mean, it's no Ghostbusters 1.
So it isn't.
There's no Stay Puft Marshmallow.
No Ghostbusters 3.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
even Ecto Cooler, man. Remember Ecto Cooler? That stuff is great. I remember XEntertainment.com had a thing where he did a quest for Ecto Cooler because they discontinued it. And man, as kids, that's all I would drink like with lunch. I had my high C Ecto Cooler. That was the only flavor I drank just because Slimer was on the box. And he went and he found a place and he did taste tests and everything. And he figured out that the orange tangerine high C flavor like was the closest in flavor. And while he was doing this, he bought a package of it and his receipt said Ecto Cooler. Like the SKU was still tied to it in the register. And he's like, yes, I can still drink it.
That's pretty impressive.
Nice. So yeah, so Ghostbusters, that's my good third pick. I saw that a million times and enjoyed the fuck out of it.
Yep.
So my third one, following my trend of, you know, I don't like people, was Short Circuit, which is an amazing movie.
And has a plot point with the word shit.
I know.
Which for like I don't know if it's not Disney, is it? But it's somebody, it's whatever, for a kid's movie.
It's theoretically a kid's movie, yeah.
Having a major plot point revolve around the word shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, no, like that movie, I mean, that movie is a big part of why I'm as into computers as I am, and I got a degree in computer engineering.
Steve, you're saying Steve Gutenberg influenced your childhood?
It's a frightening thought.
And blatant brown face?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that white dude pretending to be Indian.
Yo.
Hoobly, 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 hoo.
Oh, come on, that's hilarious.
I like the monkeys. Like, he's that horrible.
I know.
Like, I'm toning it back. That guy is bad.
I'm okay with it. I'm going to allow it.
Talk about rewatching something as a dog being like, oh.
Oh,
was that okay when I was a kid?
It was when you were a kid. Oh. But yeah, I love Short Circuit. I love Short Circuit so much, I even enjoyed Short Circuit 2, which is not nearly as good.
Yeah, Short Circuit 2 is fine.
It's all right.
Come on now.
Well, plus you get some Ally Sheedy in back in the day.
That's true.
She was a thing.
She was adorable.
She was.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so that's my third one.
All right. I feel like I'm noticing a pattern. Like, I've done a lot of like sci-fi style ones. And I want to switch up, but unfortunately my number one, I'm hitting number one in my list.
Yeah.
And I'm tempted to cheat and go to other ones just to get more variety, but I'm going to stick with one which was my Star Wars. Like, now I've watched Star Wars a lot, and of course I'm big and I know all the minutiae and I've read the books, and same with like Adam Warner Trek's kid, but as a kid, the movie I watched almost daily, like religiously. And when I played Lego, I would build the transports so that I could rotate their legs from out to in so they could smash my light cycles was Tron.
Nice.
I watched Tron at least 4 times a week. It was nearly daily. That
I've
movie
never
was,
seen Tron.
Oh, you've never seen Tron?
Tron was my childhood. Like, I would throw my Frisbee around. I took, like, a broken broom handle, and I'd play Light Cycle just running around the house making whooshing noises. It was, oh, every time I played Lego, every time I played Pretend, just constantly Tron for, like, 5 years.
That reminds me of an honorable mention I have to throw, but you go ahead. But.
Well, I mean, just literally just imagine 5 to 10-year-old Nathan. If he's playing, it's Tron-based.
Tron something.
It's Tron something.
War Games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was a good...
Shall we play a game?
I played tic-tac-toe probably until I was in college, just because it reminded me of War Games.
I watched like War Games like a week
ago. Also, it's a game you could grasp.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Zing.
Bazinga. But, oh, yeah. No, that's so good.
I have a movie stuck in my head.
What?
No, you can't figure out what it is.
No.
War Games?
No.
What is it? Describe it.
Tell us something about it.
Back to the Future.
No.
Also good.
No, it's Dabney Airbender. Coleman and...
Danny who?
Dabney Coleman.
Daphne?
Dabney.
Daphne and Velma.
Daphne and Velma. He plays an imaginary soldier with a kid. It's like Spy Games or something.
Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger. Yes. Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah. Again, I don't think anybody else would have gotten that.
I wouldn't have.
There's some movies. Apparently, there's just some connection. Andy and I have a lot of the same childhood movies, and one of us will be like, "There's a guy, and he's got this one hat he wears." And he'll be like, "Oh, blah blah blah." Yeah.
Cloak and Dagger. Yeah. Oh. That I actually watched a lot as a kid as well.
I cut off a whole genre just because I didn't discover it until I was like 9 or 10, so it was more of a middle age area, but there's a lot of anime that I watched as well for a while.
Legend of the Overfiend?
I had a Yurotsuka Doji t-shirt, and it was amazing because it just said Yurotsuka Doji, and it had this really cool looking werewolf, and there was like this blue aura glowing around him, and it was great because those of us who had seen the movie knew that was his dick glowing, and those of the movie just thought, oh, that's a cool werewolf, what's that movie about? And it's like, oh, I'm gonna have you watch it blind. It's magical.
Watch it on Easter holiday.
Yeah, Yurotsuka Doji is worth watching just because it is a thing. And this is gonna seem like a weird sentence, if it weren't for all the dicks and stuff, it would be a really good movie. It's got an interesting plot and a decent twist at the end. It just has like laser shooting penises and stuff.
Well, if they can't shoot lasers, what good are they?
Like, there is a big Godzilla monster attack in town, and it has like 8 dicks that are all like shooting lasers that are blowing up sections of Tokyo. It's like this is Yurotsuka Doji in a nutshell right here.
That guy was abused as a child.
Yeah.
How did you see that movie?
But yeah.
That was an interesting story.
Yeah, no, the one anime I saw as a kid I caught on public television was Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind, which is a oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? Studio Ghibli. What's the director's name? Like My Neighbor Totoro and Spirited Away and everything. Flying Miyazaki. Death. It was Miyazaki yep. film. And so that's the only one. Like, I saw that movie when I was like 8 on public television, and then I didn't see anything else until I was like 14 and saw really Akira.
When I was really young, we went to my grandma's house for like every like Labor Day or Memorial Day, whatever. And I always loved those holidays because they had, like TBS would always have like a Godzilla marathon.
Yes.
Nice. So I would go like, you know, go over to grandma's house and just watch 8 hours of Godzilla while the family did whatever. I'm like, leave me alone, Godzilla on TV. These are the bad Godzilla movies. I'd still watch them all the time.
Keith and Marshall were late getting back to Iowa because I made them stay and watch Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters all at attack.
Oh, sweet.
Or at least 50% of it. Like I fast forwarded into the fight scenes.
Yeah, which is still half the movie, which just makes
it. Yes, it is. Like that thing, I'm like, we'll just watch this fight, and then the fight's 40 minutes long. Like that final fight in Tokyo with, it's just, oh my goodness.
Where
like,
Godzilla wins, which is the important part of that fight.
It was
fight.
Hilarious. Like every time it's like, here comes King Ghidorah. Oh, nope, he died. Here comes King Ghidorah again because the magic of love brought him back. Oh, nope, he died again. Like King Ghidorah dies like 3 times. Like each time he like powers up, you're like, this is the time the magic of spiritual energy and love is going to, oh, Godzilla just raped him to death.
Mothra tries to sneak attack. He just turns around and fries him.
The humans shoot him with their special weapon and then just all die. Like, cause, and they don't even show the humans dying. It cuts back to the headquarters and you just hear over the radio like, I think he's seen us, and then just all the blips on the radar vanish, just like
it'll be so good.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's just because stuff like that, like he sees the reaction shot of, you see all these people running from Godzilla screaming, and it cuts to a close-up of his face like, and he's looking at him like, hmm, and it cuts to people running and screaming, and it cuts to Godzilla It gets people running and screaming. It cuts to Godzilla, and he starts to rear back and inhale to do his flame breath to kill them all. And then it cuts to like 100 miles away, and you see the mushroom cloud.
Well, that was the scene with the
school.
They
don't even show him. Yeah, they cut to a school, and this teacher's teaching, and there's just a bright flash, and she looks out the window, and there's a mushroom cloud. It's like, oh, that's what happened.
Speaking of awesome movies and showing them to people, I got our other Jeff, Troll Jeff. I got Troll Jeff to watch Hot Rod.
Okay.
Dread.
Sure. The new Dread is amazing.
And True Romance.
Nice.
That's a trilogy if I've ever heard of one. Yeah. I mean, you watch those movies back to back to back, you just had a good time.
Yeah.
You actually should do Hot Rod, then True Romance, then Dread, because it'll be like from comedy into action. Because like True Romance kind of mixes the two. Yeah. It'll be like this segue.
But yeah, no, I got them to watch. Jamie was also here to watch True Romance from Focus Fury Guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got him to watch it by saying, it was like, you need to watch the opening credits and just see all the stars that are in this film.
Yeah.
Because once you see that, you're like, holy, I guess I need to see this.
Still Brad Pitt's finest role.
Yeah. easily, because it was right around the same time. You had Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken.
Together.
That scene was amazing. Much better than the
My second favorite ill-fated, Dennis Hopper thing.
The ill-fated scene from Heat. Between De Niro and Pacino. It was like, we're going to have some coffee. Nah, it's kind of boring.
Yeah. My favorite thing about that Heat scene between De Niro and Pacino is the fact that, like, some horrible movie called, not Justified, but it was like Righteous Kill or something like that. Movie came out a couple years ago. That was crap. And they were selling up there, like, De Niro and Heat together, or De Niro and Pacino together at last. Like, that was their big selling point on all the commercials and poster. And I'd look at the poster and I'd be like, Heat exists. Like, you can't, like, the only thing that this shitty movie has going for it is that De Niro and Pacino are together in it, but they're trying to pretend like it's never happened before.
And they probably have more lines together, because in Heat, it was just not. It was
they have
not
the one scene. Well, they have a couple scenes together, but
the one diner is a big talk.
They have the diner and then the final.
The final.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but that's like their only dialogue. But to be fair, you can have characters that are important to each other in a story, and they don't necessarily have to have dialogue. To go back to one of yours, Conan and his love interest in Conan the Barbarian literally never say anything to each other in the entire movie. There's not a single word that either of them speaks to the other person.
She says stuff to him.
No, she says stuff like,
do you want
to
live forever?
Or not while they're on the same screen. Like, they're not on the same screen together. Something like that. Like, they never say anything on the same screen or something like that. I'd have to check IMDb for the exact trivia. But, okay, fine. Here's a better one. Kirk and Khan never see each other face to face.
Yeah.
In the movie, yeah.
Well, besides vidscreen.
Yeah, vidscreen.
Yeah. They are running around together. They shoot over the ship.
They're
constantly together the entire time.
So here's what I don't like about that movie.
We do not have Michael time
Bay?
For that
Michael
episode.
Bay and
Michael Bay's Star Trek.
Explosion. When Travis said that. One of his best moments.
I literally had an aneurysm. Blood started to trickle out of my ear.
It was good.
So I guess we went over recommendations.
Yeah, that's basically a recommendation.
I'm going to throw one more childhood movie. I didn't mention it because it's so obscure that nobody would have any input whatsoever. But on the off chance one person listening happened to have the same random educational VHS tape that nobody else on the planet has ever seen. There is a educational movie called Close Encounters of the Math Kind, which is the greatest thing ever. I have it on VHS. I'm going to make you guys watch it at some point. I checked. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. But it's puppets, and it's singing and dancing, and it teaches math, and it's... The thing is, it's super self-aware, so I can still watch it now. Like, one guy goes to do his solo song, and the lights all dim. One of the puppets are like, what happened to the lights? it's that kind of self-aware humor. No one else has ever seen it except my family, but that's okay. The one listener out there is like, holy shit, I watched Close Encounters of the Math Kind. It taught me how to multiply. You're welcome. You're not alone. Speaking of learning how to multiply, later in the film, they say they don't know how to multiply because they need to use multiplication to put in the landing sequence to get on the alien planet for the ship needs multiplication for the landing sequence. But the very first episode when Crash Landon is singing his song, High Flying Math Pilot, they say they actually do multiplication in the song because they correct his math. Because he says 2 times 6 divided by 3 is 9, and they say that it's 12 because 12 divided by 3 is 4 and whatnot. Of course, he was right because on Jupiter's number way more. Because the gravity's higher, so numbers way more, so math is different. But still, how do they know multiplication division during his song, but not for the landing sequence?
Okay, now I'm officially judging all three of you.
I'm just saying, I expect better plot. But despite that plot hole, Close Encounters of the Math Kind is a great movie.
I believe you. On a different topic, I am wondering how much money I'm going to give Privateer Press on their video game Kickstarter.
Their Kickstarter, yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to give them too much, because if I see the rewards and it's like, for X amount, get a bunch of stupid shiny shit.
If one of the rewards was retribution in the game, I'd be more tempted. Like, there's a reason I play Rhett and Legion. They're the factions that I like the most. And I like angry elves that want to kill people. And, you know, Kador and Signar, yeah, they hate each other. Great. Menoth wants to burn everybody. Fine. Eh. If elves were one of the reward levels, they'd be getting shit ton of money from me.
Thing is, though, if I remember correctly, when that game was first developed, I don't think retribution were a thing.
They were a thing.
They were. I think that was released.
It was Gen Con 2010.
Was it 2010 or 2009?
Either way, Red was around.
Well, they might. I'm guessing Red could be like a stretch goal. I'm talking about like, you know, so like if we get X amount of dollars, we'll put that.
No, because they specifically said the two major stretch goals are instead of it right now, it's just Signar Kador, I want to say, and the stretch goal is they will add Menoth and they'll add Krix. That's the major stretch goal.
But he's talking about personal rewards.
But the problem is, this is called War Machine Tactics.
Right,
Legion's not going to be in it.
That's why I said retribution.
Yeah.
I'm aware Legion's not an option, and I'm okay with that. But the War Machine faction that I love and play is Rhett.
It's not to say it can't be added as expansion.
To be honest, though, their stretch goals better be more exciting than adding in more. It better not be here are two factions, and our stretch goals are two other factions. They better have the four core factions than having stretch goals of like Rhett and something like that. It would be more real.
But that's not how they said they're doing it.
I'm more interested in if you give $500,
you get this
shiny,
cool thing that looks like a treasure chest from Borderlands.
Or that has like some kind of exclusive mini.
Yeah.
Or something like that from the Kickstarter. Mini. Oh, that's gonna be painful.
They can't do exclusive. Well, they can do exclusive. They could.
They could do rescore.
Oh, excuse me, Yon. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It can't be like an actual mini that only exists if you do that.
Yeah, but like the Druidgun Wilder's a pretty sweet skull.
Right. They could do something like that.
Because I'm nice, I give that away to a local.
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. It was someone else.
It's a good alternate head for the Woldrath. Speaking of which, we still need to make that Woldrath happen, Andy.
Yes.
Hey, guess what I bought at Last Square?
A Woldrath?
For $80.
Nice.
They had mammoths on sale for you. I almost bought my first mammoth yesterday.
We're excited. I'm going to say this here. I'm not going to give two details because we need to make this happen, and you guys can push this to happen. Our local Menoth, John, was playing a game. He plays Circle as well, and his Woldrath was partially assembled. He was playing against me, and I looked at his Woldrath, and I said, hey, that looks like blank. And everyone agreed, and it's beautiful, and we're making a mod happen.
Yeah. I already know what it is, so I can't.
And it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It totally does look like that.
I don't remember if you or Andy told me about it, but I agree. It's awesome.
Yeah. I got one, and we'll see what
my
we can do.
My twisted way of seeing things, Andy's skill at sculpting things, and we'll make this happen.
Andy is our local mod master.
Yeah. Well, I still have to paint the whole wonderful troll blood forest.
Plus you have that mammoth.
Yeah.
You have your mammoth.
Yeah, I have a mammoth to assemble.
I, on the other hand, took like 2 weeks to assemble a unit of Rhett infantry because, goddamn, them having all two arms.
I take 30 seconds to assemble anything because I don't give a shit.
I couldn't get the arms to stay on for the Mage Hunter infiltrators. They're like tiny little joints, and they're like bent and angled, and so like I didn't want to like glue it to the knee, and then I'd never be able to paint it, so I had to...
Why not? You can paint them with their fist on their knee.
Could have probably asked Andy to assemble it for you.
Well, I thought about it, but...
I don't watch Brian just seethe and rage.
Yeah.
When I gave you that model like 2 months ago, I knew it would take a couple of weeks.
2 months ago.
Yeah. It did actually take me a long time to even get started on it in the first place.
I mean, it was stuck in a bag for a while. I mean, taking it out of the bag took some effort.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sorry if I'm just trying to gym this.
You're gymming it up.
I'm gymming up.
Never
gym
it up.
You'll be my Ben. I'll have your Rhett army painted.
I'll burn this place to the ground before that happens.
All right. So is that
a wrap,
as they say?
No. What are you talking about? We have recommendations to do.
I thought you just said we weren't doing recommendations.
We just recommended movies for like
20 minutes. No, we talked about our childhood movies. That's not the same.
I guess we won't be doing recommendations. You were like, wait, before we said that. Oh, he said that. And then you were like, wait, before, if we're going to do that, let me talk about this movie no one's ever heard of called Math Crap and the Space Alert.
It's Close Encounters of the Math Kind.
Right.
And it's great.
Math Crap and the Space Alert.
This race only talks in numbers, and they find where they've been kidnapped, and there's like a number scrawled on the wall, and like the three trails away at the end, like they're pulled away.
Turn off his microphone. Make this stop.
The Giants are playing tennis with his people.
Oh, jeez. I had a recommendation before I came over here, and I cannot remember what it was. I'm like, yeah, I'll recommend this different thing, because I've been recommending, because I did 2 weeks of recommending last
You recommended the same game twice.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing, and it should be played.
But that's why I have it
so,
here.
Yes. Here we go. I tweeted at the very beginning that we're starting to record, and I've got only four responses for a quick...
Are we going to Zappity Grumble? Oh, yeah, there's going to be a minor storm. It's going to come through fast because there's only four questions. So.
Only four questions.
Okay, so what's your line when we're doing lightning round? You say...
Zappity.
Grumble? You say, yes, good job. Honey or jelly, what is better? I want this sorted.
Oh, my God, I'm addicted to both.
That's not a choice.
Mix them.
I will state a simple fact. I currently have 14 different types of honey in my pantry.
There's 10 comments on Facebook, by the way.
That is not even an exaggeration. Oh, okay. I have 14 different flavors of honey in my pantry right now.
Okay.
In your pants?
In my pants. No.
He's got honey in his pants.
I have blackberry. I have buckwheat. I have orange blossom. I have honey crystals. I have some raw honeycomb. I have... Oh, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But I have 14 honeys and only three jellies.
Okay, so you're fired because that was slow. So honey, Andy.
I like jelly.
I've never eaten jelly. I have a jar of, honey in my drawer at home. I don't know what to do with it. I stare at it every day not knowing what to do.
Wait, you mean you don't even eat honey?
Honey.
You said I've never eaten jelly.
I've never eaten jelly, and I have a jar of honey in my cupboard.
So you've never eaten either?
No. And I want to eat this honey, but I don't know what to do with it.
You've never had a PB&J?
We do not have time in the lightning round for us to go into what's wrong with that.
How have you never had a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
I've never had peanut butter and honey sandwich.
I've never eaten honey or jelly.
Or honey butter.
Never had.
Let me tell you this. Just simple. Take some delicious bread.
Yes.
Spread some butter on it.
Yes.
Drizzle some honey.
Yes.
Done.
Yes. Maybe I'll try it. I want to eat the honey. I just don't know what to do.
A favorite snack of mine is Ritz crackers with peanut butter, a banana slice, and then some honey on top.
All right. I'm going to say jelly. My mom used to make homemade jelly. Delicious.
Jeremy understands.
Okay.
All right.
Well, how could somebody... you're pointing at me again, but you didn't read anything.
That's because you're supposed to say Zappity, goddammit.
Zappity! Come on!
Someone's ear just exploded. Better E-Gaspy nerf. Can't feed back characters or X-Carnate created models can't attack their first turn. He's asking which one. Can't feed back characters or X-Carnate created models can't attack their first
Feet's
turn.
Feet's not the problem. X-Carnate models shouldn't have actions.
X-Carnate, no actions.
Brian doesn't get both. X-Carnate, but not for that.
Okay. And I'm going to say, yeah, to hell with his feet, X-Carnate.
Yeah,
X-Carnate, no actions.
You can drop it to 2 points. Just X-Carnate is the one thing in the game that actually I think is brokenly bad and wrong.
I say it's broken because of the mixture of bile throws.
Yeah, because of bile throws.
X-Carnate, no range attacks would be my personal
thing.
I don't mind a bane attack.
Anything that nerfs biles.
No range. The biles are the problem. Yeah. So,
Zappity.
You grumble.
I got one. DVDA or BYOB?
I don't know what DVDA is.
I don't know what DVDA
is. I know
what
Bring Your Own Beer is, but...
DVDA.
I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. All right.
Because the host should provide beer.
Yes. And you can't tell what I'm pointing at him.
Grumble!
If you could change the Warcaster or Warlock in any battle box, who would you change them to and why?
Why do I have to go first every time?
Because you're to my left.
I'll go first.
All right, Brian.
I put Dominion on the Mercs.
I was about to do that. I'm like, wait,
because
not one.
Because not Magnus. That's the reason why.
Andy.
I don't know.
Derp-a-derp. All right. Nathan?
Oh, I saw the first two words of DVDA and then a pop-up ad covered up the last two. So I saw double vagina. And then a pop-up ad happened. So that's a thing.
Wow.
You know what? I would switch. I would take Denny out of the battle box and put in Asphyxius 1 because for new players doing battle box and battle box games, that's less retardedly lopsided.
Yeah, I would agree. No, that's a good choice. I would actually go with the Legion battle box, and I would pull out P. Lilith because she just doesn't play like any of the other casters, in my opinion. And I'd put in someone more...
You should put in Thagrosh.
Yeah, Pythagrosh. That's what I was going
to say. Pythagrosh would make an excellent battle box.
It'd be way better battle box. So I think that
would be what I would make too.
Okay, and then the DVDA or BYOB was on Twitter as well. So someone's going to have to hand me Facebook to read those questions.
I got them here. Richard Swift sent in two very, very long worded requests.
Out.
So yeah, we're passing on him. Both good questions, but way too detailed for us.
Yeah, that's not like
briefs. So we're going to go to Cliff, who asked a more complicated question: briefs or boxers?
Boxers.
Boxer briefs. That's not cheating. It's what I wear.
It's still cheating.
I wear briefs.
Boxers.
All right.
Also, I will accept commando.
Only in special occasions.
Submarine Commando.
Yeah.
What? What?
All right. Barnyard Commandos. Zeppity.
Grumble.
Brian, you're really bad at this.
Well, Richard Swift sent another question that makes no sense to me, so I'll read off this question.
Read it off. Let's see what it says.
If you had the opportunity to have a non-Devils three-way with two fours, would you take it? And do those fours really add up to eight? I think two fours add up to a unicycle.
Any three-way is a good three-way as long as...
It's not a Devil's three-way.
I don't know what Devil's three-way is.
Two guys, one girl.
Oh, no.
Abort!
Oh,
yeah, abort! Yeah, yeah. Abort!
No, I have no problem with homosexuality and everything. Hooray for people who are into that. But for me, when having sexual interactions, the only physical contact I want with a guy is high fives afterwards.
And you want to both be wearing
backing's
pants.
Fun to joke about, yeah, but no, I don't want to actually...
Just high fives. Maybe during if I'm drunk enough. Probably afterwards. Whatever. But, a threesome with two fours, yeah, dude, come on, it's a threesome. Good job.
I disagree. Two fours do not equal an eight.
I didn't say they equal an eight. I'm just saying I'm getting a threesome.
We're all talking about that. No.
All right. I would, I agree with 2 4s, not the Devils.
Okay. Well, that's what he said, not the Devils.
He's not the Devils. You're not the Devils.
If you boned, would you bone two ugly chicks at the same time?
Instead of yes.
Yeah.
Instead of not doing it.
Oh.
Like, it's either you have a threesome with 2 4s or you don't have a threesome. No. You don't have a sex at all.
No.
You would continue to be abstinent instead of doing 2 4s.
Yes.
Fours need love and two.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're really, really good at it.
I believe it's
they have to try harder.
So I'm reminded of a very offensive...
Oh, God.
Shut up. It's an Andrew Dice Clay joke. So I'm going to preface that it's very sexist and horrible. But somebody asked him at a talk show. They said, why are ugly girls... No, it's actually, why are fat chicks so good at oral sex? And he said, because they have to be.
Yo.
And it's horrible and offensive.
I've heard that joke. I've heard that. All right.
I apologize.
Moving on.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Oh, here. I have the last one. Just sent in minutes ago by Otto. His name is Otto.
Otto.
Can you put into words the taste of RC-10?
Liquid shit.
You're close. It tastes like a prop from Two Girls, One Cup.
How am I supposed to even go with that?
That's more than two words, but I'm going to allow it.
Jesus. I can't even follow that up.
Sadness.
Also not two words, but also true.
If you say a lot of sadness. Yes.
That was a pretty good lightning round. I'm going to allow it. All right. So do people have recommendations?
I'm going to recommend Last of Us.
I do have a recommendation.
All right. Go ahead if you have one.
I recommend this on Facebook and a forum already, but I'm going to recommend the author Brent Weeks' Night Angel trilogy. It's nice because, A, the trilogy's out and done, so it's not one of these you have to wait for another book. They're fast, quick reads. What I like about them is the first book is good. It's pretty interesting. It starts off like your average fantasy novel. But by the end of book one, it gets so much better. Books two and three keep improving and improving. So it's like you keep getting the rewards from keep reading. Where some authors are more constant or some. But this guy like weaves a story that just somehow just when it comes together at the end, it's like, holy fuck, that was amazing.
Nice.
So that's my recommendation.
My recommendation is also a book. As I was thinking about things that were important to me as a child, I actually was talking to Katie about the book Ender's Game, which I don't know if I've recommended previously. I may have. But I love that book. The whole series is okay. I like Orson Scott Card in general. I enjoy the whole series. But Ender's Game is amazing.
Do you have any idea the can of worms you just opened up on the Muse Minis forum?
I'm aware. All right. Okay with it.
Okay.
Because I know that he's been mentioned specifically in a thread.
Especially since you said the phrase, I like Orson Scott Card. And that implies like as a person.
That applies as an author in the way that I'm speaking, for the record.
I'm saying like the sentence that stood alone was just like, I like Orson Scott Card. He's good people.
We need Nathan to accidentally say, I like that one guy.
I'm just saying, Hitler did nothing wrong.
No, I'm aware that that's probably going to open up a shitstorm because I actually read that thread.
I was thinking of that one actor that you like so much.
Matt Damon?
Yep, that one. Your favorite.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
The one you like a lot, Wyatt Earp?
Oh, God damn. Fucking Kevin Costner. Oh, my God. The only guy with less emoting than a wooden plank.
Is that your recommendation? Wooden planks?
My recommendation is not anything with Kevin. No.
I love Robin Hood. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
That's my older years, younger years.
Yeah, movie. That was also really good.
I like Wyatt Earp. I like Open Range.
Open Range is amazing.
Wyatt Earp.
Waterworld.
I won't allow Wyatt Earp because it isn't Tombstone. And they came out about the same time.
Yeah, I can't watch. I like him as an actor, but it's hard for me to watch. Even though the movies are different, because Tombstone exists,
and it is an amazing film.
They are completely different tones of
movies. But it sets the bar. Tombstone is just that good.
Yeah, they're both. It's like Aliens and Alien 3.
I don't know.
Alien 3 is Wyatt Earp, and Aliens is Tombstone.
So here, man, the Alien trilogy, I like all three of those movies, actually.
I do, too.
I like all three of the Alien movies that ever came out, because all three of them.
There were three of them.
All three of them.
Yeah.
There were three. I bought the first half of four.
Alien trilogy, and it came with, like, this free coaster.
I know, right?
And what happened, no joke, I got home, I cracked open, I opened up the Alien boxes, I took out Resurrection, and I threw it under the couch, and then when we moved out of that house, like, 6 years later, it was still there. and then I threw it away. But Alien 3 was a return to horror film, because it was a whole bunch of unarmed people facing one overwhelming monster, like the first movie was. One and three are similar. Two is the one that stands out as different, but it also happens to be the best of them. So
three has the
first 5 minutes piss you off too. To be fair,
first 5 minutes insult you. It had too many writers. It went through too many cuts. So it got a little sloppy. Yeah. But I can still enjoy it.
That chase scene's cool. Like, it's got that really cool chase scene when they're trying to herd the thing and everything and whatever.
I mean, it just had the problem with Falling 2 is really all it had. I mean, even if they would have just had no mention of 2 and then just had her showing up on the planet,
if 3
that
had
just
been
fine.
The sequel to 1, it would have been a fine sequel.
Yep.
I like that the alien hatches from a different species, so it's different. That was a cool thing for them to do. There's a lot of neat stuff to it. It just sadly doesn't have Hudson. Ultimate badass.
Or Hicks.
Well, at least they're in the video game, so it's okay.
It's true.
Has any of us actually played that video game either?
I haven't.
I'm waiting for it to go like for $10.
Colonial Marines? That's supposed to be the worst thing like ever.
No, I've heard it's subpar. I've heard it's like when Steam has it on sale for like $5, I'll pick it up.
I might do that too.
But I'm going to wait till it's like $5.
So was that your recommendation?
That wasn't even me.
That was just a rant.
That was just a sidetrack.
I just wanted to bring up Kevin Costner just to get Nathan
just to make Nathan irritated.
Hey, you know what would be awesome? If Michael Bay made a movie with Kevin Costner.
That would be awesome, because I would have one handy film to not see. I would double reasons
but,
to not
but
see.
But they would all go under stage names, so you wouldn't know who it is.
Pseudonyms.
They're like pseudonyms.
Yeah. How can you not like the one movie with the stuff he does in it?
I love a lot of movies with Kevin Costner. I love Untouchables. Oh. I love Dancing with Wolves. I love Bull Durham. I love movies that have Kevin Costner in them.
I was like crap out of Bull Durham as good.
Despite the fact that Kevin Costner sucks in them.
He is great in Untouchables.
Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner. He casts spells to make himself awful. Presto Wacko Emoto.
I'm sorry, it's pronounced Coven, because Coven rhymes with oven.
Coven Costner. I will recommend that. I am going to recommend American Movie.
God damn it.
American Movie is a documentary about a guy in Milwaukee making an independent film. And it's really good. And it's funny, and it's got touching stuff to it, because, you know, it's his dream, and you're watching his tycoon to get through his dream. But it's also funny just because the life they live, there's, you know, wackiness going on with it. His buddy, Mike, is, man, I wish I was best friends with Mike.
I met Mike.
I met both of them, actually. I went and saw. So it's about them trying to make a film, and I guess I'm going to be slightly spoilery and say that the film eventually does get made, because where I met them was at a film festival where they showed American Movie, which was a masterpiece. And then as a double feature, they showed Coven, which is the movie being made in American Movie. And so we got to meet them for a Q&A afterwards, and it was a lot of fun, and I got to shake their hands and talk to them. And I would donate $20 to his funds for him to make more films strictly to support the art. I would not pay a nickel for Coven. I'm like, here's $20. Good luck making more movies. Get that thing away from me.
Yeah, I met Mike when he was up at an Iced Earth show up in
of course
Appleton.
He likes Iced Earth.
Yeah,
of course Mike metal can go band. To an Iced Earth show.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my little brush with greatness of obscureness.
Well, you meet me all the time, and I'm internet famous.
We had a friend who almost met Jeffrey Dahmer at a concert.
Yeah.
Really wow. Not. I'm just saying. That's the only person I know that's met someone famous.
No been. Comment.
What? He was at a concert that Jeffrey Dahmer was at. He didn't like, meet him. I mean, he was. Dahmer was hunting for people, and he happened to be at the same concert.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, well, the ambassador is right across the street from the rave.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he was at.
So, do you have a non-serial killer recommendation, Andy?
Not one, really. No, I don't have one.
Well, okay.
I'm all drawn out. I had like so many awesome things going through my head today.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the movie thing is hard to follow with the recommendation.
My recommendation is actually I don't know if we have mentioned it. Jeremy might be able to say it.
He hasn't updated that thread in forever. No,
it's been a while.
Hot Rod.
I don't think it's on there.
No. Everyone needs to watch Hot Rod.
I still don't know who would win in a fight between a hot dog and a taco.
Well, it depends if it's prison rules.
Right.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Rod. I like to party.
Oh my god, why do we have an episode where we just introduce each other?
I do like Hot Rod a lot, and sometimes like I'm not a huge fan of a lot of those recent stupid movies. Like the Will Ferrell, like I don't like Step Brothers.
Son of a bitch.
I know. No, I don't like Step Brothers. I mean Talladega Nights was a B-. It was entertaining, but I didn't like memorize it. I feel no need to own it or see it again.
Yeah.
Like Anchorman had a lot of good moments. I like Anchorman, actually. But like a lot of those, they just don't... For some reason, I'm not huge into those, but Hot Rod is goddamn hilarious.
Hot Rod is... Yeah, it does everything straight-faced, which is great. It's kind of almost like an homage to Airplane.
Yeah, I might just not like Will Ferrell.
You might not.
But I do love Elf. Elf is fucking hilarious, but...
Elf is a great movie.
Elf is and not only hilarious, I swear to God, it gets the Christmas spirit going right there. Yeah, it's actually, like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm choking up a little. The Christmas spirit, they're all singing. Yeah.
It's a very good Christmas music.
And it has Nazgul.
Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Oh. It's one of the best Christmas films, but not the best.
No, it's no Die Hard.
Yeah, not Die Hard.
It's not Die Hard.
Die Hard, Scrooged, and Elf. That's a perfect...
Those are some great Christmas movies.
And I'll, even the National Lampoon's Christmas.
Yeah,
Christmas Vacation is great.
Those four are.
I do like Christmas Story. It's just me.
No, Christmas Stories. What are you? You're acting like not everybody on the planet likes that movie.
Oh, here's...
Everybody likes
Christmas
Story.
Here's a recommendation that you should not do. Do not go and look online for a trailer for Christmas Story 2.
No.
Don't do it.
I wish whatever. It was a joke.
I wish it was too.
Oh,
but
my God.
Actually, go do it.
Oh, yeah, fine. Go. Well, one of us will link to it because we're sadistic bastards. Christmas Story 2 is an insult and an abomination, and I have nightmares about it. And all I've seen is the trailer. Like, I haven't seen the film. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I've never seen that whole movie either.
Christmas Story?
Yeah, I've only seen parts of it.
The bigger question is, how the fuck have you never had jelly?
Yeah. Jelly. That is a valid question.
Or honey. He's never had honey or jelly.
Honey I can actually understand more. I can actually understand
like
honey
tea
more.
Tea and like...
Who does
on
tea?
Waffles?
We're not fucking British.
I do.
Syrup. You can do syrup instead of honey
you
on
can,
waffles,
but,
stuff
but
like that.
Jeremy is from the Boston area, if I remember correctly.
I lived there for a while.
But they just throw it all into the... They throw it into the... Ocean.
Honey, I can understand. Like, it's sad, but I can get it. But jelly, like, as a kid, you eat PB&Js. You just do.
I know when I was a child, someone, like, offered me jelly. I'm like, no, I don't want any. I'm pretty sure
Mom used to make homemade jelly.
You know, offer dick. Your parents pack a PB&J with the crust
cut off,
and that's what you eat.
I like the crust.
Cut in triangles.
I want the crust.
Yeah, I actually ate the crust, too.
Crust is the best part.
My mom cut them in triangles.
I used to smash the white bread all the way flat till it was like paper thin and
my
then tear it out.
My brother used
and then
to do
eat
that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a peanut butter sandwich. There's peanut butter and some sugar sprinkled on it. That's all I have.
That's almost the same as peanut butter and honey.
Sugar. What is wrong with you?
Sugar is just liquid, or honey is just liquid sugar.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm going to make you a fucking PB&J.
Yeah.
How have you not had this? That's happening. He's eating it live on air. Next podcast, I'm bringing a PB&J for Brian to eat
on air.
Make sure you keep it in the car for a while, too.
No, I want him to enjoy it. It's not a horrible thing. I want him to go, oh, my God, what have I been missing? And then he's going to go murder his parents for never giving him one.
How dare you?
Because that's child abuse right there.
I will say,
that's goddamn child abuse.
I ate so much peanut butter and jelly as a kid that one of the big things in college was my college – dining hall had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and I didn't eat them because, damn it, I'm an adult now. I got out of college, and like one of the first things I made myself when I was in grad school was like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because like I went 4 years without one of these, goddammit.
We were eating Borderlands today, and Brian went and ordered a pizza, and I made myself a goddamn PB&J. Peanut butter and jelly, yeah. PB&J.
Goddamn Borderlands.
Oh, my fucking tiny
It was so much fun. Playing Ultimate Vault Hunter mode in that game is so hard, and then doing the expansion when you have one person underleveled is...
Like, it's enjoyable and painful. Like, it's like if you're having great sex, but it's, like, chafing a little, but you don't want to stop, but it kind of hurts. No? Okay. Like, with two fours.
Yeah, pretty much.
All the dialogue was so good, and the monsters so interesting, but man, it was just the dying and the dying
There's, like, 800 boss fights in that fucking thing. And every mob is a boss fight because it's 8 crystal skeletons. Oh, and then there's a dragon, and then there's a spider monster, and then there's a wizard, and then there's more boss fights.
And there's like 17 fire archers.
Ah! God damn it.
Badass
fire archer.
I want
to take my level 54 and play through the like level 6 version of that thing just to like laugh maniacally while I annihilate all those fucking fire archers.
Just let a spike go back in the original mode.
Oh my god. You do get to teabag a guy though. Allie does wear like a chainmail bikini though too. Just be warned. You don't have to. We made a poor decision. The game's like, which would you like her to wear? Full plate mail or a bikini? And I'm like, we're doing bikini, Brian. We have to do bikini. And the game called our bluff. It wasn't joking.
We thought you wear it as an eye patch.
She said it. She's like, that's too small for me. I'll wear it as an eye patch. She did not wear it as an eye patch. And it was too small for her. And they did, like, her design does have, like, varicose veins on her gut and stuff. Oh. Like, they made that a thing.
That's unfortunate.
It was sad.
The end.
The
of
end.
Of my yep. sanity.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it.
Thank our special guest, Jamie, for coming down from Minnesota to be on the podcast.
Thanks, Katie, for deciding to sleep instead of, you know,
yep.
make it over
Nobody
here.
Misses you, Katie. It's not like you're an integral part to
we
the cast or anything.
We miss Travis, though. I wish he was here.
I miss Viral Bear.
Well, then we should stop, and then you can go play.
Yeah, I'll go do that. I'll go eat a PBJ.
Yes. Correct decision.
Later.